views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, WBLQ in Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, cable radio network in the U.S. in various cities, and, of course, Transformation Talk Radio around the world. I'm talking to you today from the studios at Hubbard Radio, and we're looking at some clouds and stuff, and I want to say a hello to Benny here in the studio. How you doing today, Benny?
Doing all right. You're everywhere. This is amazing. You're expanding so fast.
Well,
you just need to slow down.
Are you telling me I need to stop eating so much?
Yes. Not on that side of things. Jeez. No, the broadcasting atmosphere.
Yeah, it's fun to reach out and help people shift their lives, because it's really what it's about. You know, we're all, you know, working our way down this road called life, and we want relief, we want joy, we want expansion. And hopefully those of you who are listening will get that this hour. And we're going to be talking about something that's really near and dear to my heart this hour. And I don't know that we've actually approached this subject much on the show before, but we're going to be talking about parenting and how to do it in a conscious manner. And I know that, you know, there are many people who are listening right now who are parents, and they're probably...
Me included?
Yeah.
That's why I'm still staying focused here.
Myself included as well. There are probably some people who aren't parents who are listening, but I have to tell you, you know, whether you're a parent or not, this is such an important conversation, because we're talking about bucking cultural norms, and it's so important because how we love our children determines what kind of world we're going to have tomorrow.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think you should stay tuned, everybody, so... Keep your ears glued.
Yes. And I'm excited about my guest today, because he is an expert of sorts, and he's also got this great humor to look at these various issues. His name is Brian Leaf. He's got his MA. He's the director of the New Leaf Learning Center. Brian Leaf, the New Leaf Learning Center, gives you a hint that he's got a sense of humor. He's a holistic tutor. He's got a holistic tutoring center in Massachusetts. My old stomping ground, by the way. He helps students manage ADD and overcome standardized tests and math phobias, which is so important because so many people are afraid of those things. He's had 21 years of intensive study, practice, and teaching of yoga, meditation, and holistic health. So we already know that he's been on his own path and he's holistic. He's certified by the New England Institute of Ayurvedic Medicine. He holds licenses of certifications as a yoga teacher, a massage therapist, an energy worker, and a holistic educator. And, you know, I really appreciate those who are in energy work, because that's my field, too. He uses all sorts of approaches to sort of holistically help people in a variety of ways, including children. And he's also here to help parents. He is the author of 11 books, including this wonderful book that had me laughing till late hours last night, The Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi, Cloth Diapers, Co-Sleeping, and My Sometimes Successful Quest for Conscious Parenting. I'd like to welcome Brian Leaf. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. I'm so glad you're here on the show, because, you know, parenting is an important subject. Because our children depend on us to know what we're doing, and so often we haven't a clue.
Yeah, right. It's true.
So, what prompted you to write this book?
Well, let's see. I had written a book before it called Misadventures of a Garden State Yogi, and that book was a memoir, and it told the story of how I found yoga and fell in love with yoga and meditation and my process with it. And when I was 17, I lived in New Jersey.
Uh-huh. I used to live there, by the way.
Oh, where'd you live?
I lived in Mattawan.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah,
yeah, so I grew up in Jersey, and I was actually in high school. I was the number one ranked debater in New Jersey.
Oh.
So, you know,
wow.
New Jersey, there's some serious arguers in New Jersey.
We're talking the New York City area, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. You know, so that I think that says something. So I was the number one ranked debater, and I was really serious, and I was really hardworking, and I was very stressed out. And I had ulcerative colitis as a teenager, and that's an ulcer in the colon. And it was very serious. I got really sick. I lost a lot of weight.
Right.
And after a series of, you know, my parents bringing me to different doctors, I found somebody who diagnosed me, and I went on meds, and it went away.
Mm-hmm.
But ulcerative colitis is the kind of disease that comes back typically periodically.
Mm-hmm.
And so so it went into remission. I went off to Georgetown University in D.C., and I got really, really into yoga. About 2 years later, when my symptoms came back and I got really sick, this time it wasn't responding to the meds and I wasn't getting better. There was talk of surgery, and I was really scared. And one day I made the realization, which now is obvious, but at the time for me it was a huge leap. I realized that the days where I did my yoga, the symptoms were a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered what would happen if I did a whole lot of yoga. I did 4 or 5 times a day for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
And unbelievably, even now it's hard to believe, after 3 days, the symptoms went away.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, the book tells the story of when I found yoga and the colitis and the different process with that from about age 17 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
And just how it changed my life. At first it was just the postures. But then it came back again and I did the yoga again. But also I learned how to express my feelings more, and I learned how to manage stress and how to not, you know, bottle everything up, and
how
to eat. And how to tune in to my feelings, you know, to my intuition. And so anyway, I wrote that book. That was Misadventures of a Garden State Yogi. And when I was done with that, now I was in my 30s, and I wanted to, I don't know, I just felt the urge, the guidance to write another book. And the obvious thing was parenting, because at this point, plus anybody who's a parent, I think whatever you do for a living, suddenly you, the parenting enters it.
Like
the musicians, suddenly they're doing kids' music, or actors, they're suddenly doing kids' movies or something.
Sure. Now, you don't live in Jersey anymore. You live in what I refer to as Happy Valley in western Massachusetts, right?
That's right, the Happy Valley. Yep, I live in Northampton, Mass.
Yeah.
And
it's a funny connection, because I went to school there. I lived out there for 4 years. So we've been sort of almost crossing paths, you know, decade or two off, but, you know.
I've been expecting you. I wrote that book, which the obvious was parenting. And a humorous parenting book is almost like cheating, because, you know, so easy. I mean, to make people laugh about parenting, it's not hard.
But you're talking about important subjects. First of all, tell us about your kids.
So Noah is 8, and Benji is 4. And actually, Benji's going to be 5 in a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
And they're wonderful.
Great ages. Great
ages. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the best. It's hard, too, of course. Like this morning, Noah woke up at 5:30.
Uh-huh.
And he just, I don't know, he just kind of assumed that we would want to get up and play at 5:30.
You know, I heard somebody refer to parenting as long days, short years. And that just seems so on target.
Yeah.
Because the time flies by. I mean, you know, my boys are 14 and 19 now, and it's like, what happened? Where are my babies?
Yeah, it's true. I have a joke about that in the book. I can't remember the exact wording, but something about how when you have little kids, people always come up to you and say, you know, soak it in, go so fast. And how when people say that to you, you want to grind your foot on their toe.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Not so there's damage, just so a little discomfort. No, but it's true. I totally get that. I totally do. And I can see that. I mean, you know, I know it's kind of a funny thing, actually, because I have a feeling that that probably all my life I'll look back on this time as one of the richest, as probably the richest. And also hard, you know, it's challenging.
It is very challenging.
Hard, you know, it challenges the relationship.
Uh-huh.
There's less sleep. There's less sex. There's less connection.
Right.
I think ultimately, and this is in yoga, the, you know, you could say, according to yoga philosophy, the point of of life, really, the point of, or the point of yoga practice, certainly, is to achieve union. That's what yoga means in the Sanskrit root.
It right. It's union. Not. It's not about exercise.
It's not about just flexibility or getting thin.
Yes.
It's about union with the divine, with the ultimate union of ourselves, our individual spirit with the universal spirit, and with others. And I mean, that's what parenting is, right? That's the yoga of parenting. Parenting is, you know, there will probably never be a time in my life when I'm disconnected to these little people who want to cuddle and just hug and kiss and just be connected. They want me around. Nobody wants me around that much, but they do.
And but also, you know, I think that there's an aspect of how parenting brings out a new connection within ourselves, too, because I tell people that until, like, when I had my first child, it illuminated a part of me that had been forever in darkness, but I didn't realize it. So it's kind of like it just opens up the heart in a new way that helps us connect within ourselves in a different way.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And I think we bring that forward even after they are no longer climbing into our laps. It's a gift that stays with us throughout our lives. Well, you know, when we come back, I really want to chat with you about your perspective on using consciousness and some alternative approaches to parenting, because, you know, this really is bucking the norm. What you talk about in this book and what I implemented within my own, you know, family situation bucks the norm, but it's so important. So we're going to go to a quick break, but more with Brian Leaf, author of Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi, when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, AM 1150 and WBLQ in the Northeast Cable Radio Network and Transformation Talk Radio. I love Benny's sense of humor. He's the one who chooses the bumper music, going out and coming back in.
So. I do it when I can. I had to flash back to the early 90s, so to speak. This is DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. This is before he became really kind of big on the scene from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and the TV show and all that. So Will Smith and his early rapping career. So it was a tribute to his one of his wonderful songs, as parents just don't understand. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but
yeah, obviously,
we really do.
Yes. Well, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And what we are talking about is parenting. The Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi is the latest book by Brian Leaf, who's my guest today. Now, Brian, you know, you talk about a variety of approaches. And for a lot of our listeners, they won't seem so foreign. But a lot of people out there will think, what are you, crazy? I mean, cloth diapers, sleeping with your baby. I mean, what are you, nuts? Why did you choose to take sort of these alternative approaches with birthing and raising your children?
Why did I choose to write about them, or why did we do them in the
first place? Why did you choose to do them that way?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think that, you know, it wasn't really a choice. It was more like just expressing who we are and what we felt.
Right.
And I think that's true for a lot of people. And it's important to see it that way because, you know, I mean, you sort of alluded to this. There's so much judgment and anger and fear and fighting, really, and, you know, kind of bad vibes in the battles around this stuff. It's so heated. I mean, it's like, I think people say it's like religion, but I'd say it's worse than religion because, I mean, pretty much most folks are not going to go around and tell somebody that their religion is wrong or be really angry at them for their religion. I mean, certainly it happens, but hopefully not much. And politics, you know, gets pretty heated, but the parenting stuff is really, really heated. But I would say that it's like if we're exposed to the information, I think most of us will choose the one that's appropriate to us. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, let's say I'm a liberal Democrat. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine being a conservative Republican.
Right.
But obviously there are folks out there that that's the correct thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the parenting choices are like that. But so I actually started writing the book kind of when I realized that I was going to write the book. One of my missions was to share with folks the different approaches that I felt so grateful to have been exposed to,
right.
You know, in the Happy Valley here where I live.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think if I lived somewhere else, then...
Everything
I'm
okay like, there? You don't have a fire or anything? You need to get out?
I told you, people get crazy when you talk about this stuff.
Sir, up against the wall.
Listen, I'm going to have to call you back because
here.
they're here for me. I actually, in an earlier version of the book, I would joke about that, how when I was writing certain things, there'd be like a mob outside my window with pitchforks. But anyway, so when I first started writing the book, I wanted to share with folks the things that I felt so grateful to have been exposed to. I thought, well, maybe people live somewhere where they're not exposed to this. And ironically, by the end, my mission in the book changed from that, which was a little bit more preachy, really.
Sure.
And it wasn't that I wanted to change people. Actually, no, I did. I wanted to change people.
Thank you for being honest, Brian.
Yeah. It shifted from that to the conscious parenting, which is really just, I don't want to change people. What I do want to do is put my ideas out there, and I want to encourage people to tap into their own heart, their own intuition, and their own parenting instincts, and have them parent from there. And if they parent the way I believe, that's great. If they parent the way they believe, that's great. But all I care about is I think the main mission is it's not whether you do attachment parenting or tiger parenting or whatever.
Right.
It's about tuning into your heart and gut and doing it from there. And
oh,
I think you can't
so
go wrong.
Important. And, you know, you made a really important point before about the judgment, because, you know, we as parents have to make all sorts of difficult decisions. Do we vaccinate our children? Do we sleep with our children? And we tune into the judgment. And you're right. It's in some ways it's worse than religion, because not only is there like the outward spoken judgment of this is what's right and this is what's wrong, but also they sometimes connect it to medical science, saying the American Academy of Pediatrics says it's unsafe to sleep with your baby or whatever. And so you have to contend with that. So if people can view their own inner guidance as the number one guide, then it helps them to tune out that other stuff when it's in conflict with their own perspective.
It's so true. And, you know, science is so wonderful, obviously. But, I mean, for example, the the American Pediatric Association?
I don't remember either, yeah.
I think it's the APA. For example, on circumcision, you know, they've reversed their stance, kind of flip-flopped their stance, three or four times in the past couple of decades. Right. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's great that they're responding to the newest science. So I don't fault them. I think that's great, obviously. But it does indicate to me that whatever their current stance is not going to be the end-all, be-all for my, you know, my decision.
Right. And when I hear some of the you know, latest science, it just reminds me of when I was growing up, how suddenly we went from eating butter to margarine because butter was unhealthy and because it was saturated fat and therefore we needed, you know, to eat margarine. I'm thinking all that trans fatty acids I ate over the years, you know, how has that affected my body? Have I cleared that out yet? I mean, there's a certain, you know, what's in vogue. There's a certain trend one way or another. And they'll say it's linked to science, but it's always questionable.
I really believe that, you know, science is very useful to inform. But really, I believe the best and most important information we have available to us is when we can really tune into our heart and to our instincts. And actually, I'm thinking about writing my next book on that because, you know, it sounds real woo-woo to folks, but I'd like to write a book to show folks the non-woo-woo-ness of that. I just recently heard that, what's the guy's name who runs Berkshire Hathaway, the most famous investor? Warren Buffett.
Yes, Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett. I heard recently that he has several of his decision-making techniques are pure instinct and intuition.
Yeah.
One of them might be whether his knees hurt or something. I can't remember, but, you know, it's crazy, but I'd like to find 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 examples of really mainstream successes where that's used, just to show folks that is really some of the best. You have to learn to use it, but it's really important information. And in parenting, I mean, let's just take it out of the woo-woo clouds. Every animal, including human beings, knows exactly how to parent their young. I mean, obviously, we know this. And it's really, I mean, it's completely mystical and miraculous, but just scientific and normal. Like, you know, I don't know, when an owl is born, a little baby owl, the dad immediately starts doing certain tasks and the mom starts doing certain tasks. We've all seen the March of the Penguins and those kind of movies.
Right.
It's amazing how they know exactly how to keep their eggs warm and they roll them over once a day or once a month, whatever it was. It's amazing.
And yet we don't trust ourselves. And, you know, I really do believe that the worthiness issues come up big time with parenting because, you know, we want to do what's right for our children. We want to be accepted by our peers and by society at large. And it's exhausting, this is the whole process of parenting. So, you know, are we good enough? You know, what have we done wrong? You know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. No. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think to me, this stuff is some of the most important. I mean, and the margarine thing you pointed to, you know, it's great. And I love that example. And not to discredit science in any way, science is such obviously useful information
to us.
Absolutely. But it must be seen as just that. And another thing it reminds me of is that we have to think that every period in time has always thought that they were the most modern, fully evolved part of society.
Yes.
I mean, we have to. So in 1710, when they were doing whatever they did in 1710 that they considered new science and we laugh at, they didn't say like, wow, we're only 1710, you know, wait till 2014, they'll really know. They said like, hey, we're 2000, you know, we're 1710.
Yes,
and one day, 2014, will be 200 years ago and they'll laugh at us.
Right. Oh, absolutely. They will laugh and they'll laugh very hard, I'm sure. So, you know, some of the choices that you guys chose as, you know, co-parents, the co-sleeping, why would you take that approach with a baby?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, again, that is one of those, I'd say that's in the top 5 most controversial. I mean, you know, it'd be fun, I don't know if you take calls or not, but it'd be fun to take calls from some folks who maybe are triggered by that or have questions about it. But
yeah, we could certainly take calls, couldn't we, Benny?
You bet.
We'll do that next segment.
Sure.
Yeah.
So why did we choose it? Because it felt right. And I mean, first of all, again, historically, you've got to figure that 99.99% of human history, folks were sleeping with their babies.
Right.
So it didn't really scare me. I mean, there are sometimes warnings about, you know, rolling onto your children or hurting them. But it didn't scare me because I know that human beings evolved in that process. They certainly didn't have a separate cave for their little baby.
Yes, yes.
You know, in human history.
We're not worried about the tiger getting them in that cave because, you know, it's just a little tiny cave. You know?
Right. I mean, just put the baby out there.
Right.
And it felt right. It felt like what I wanted to do. And, you know, we did our research. We found out it's better not to use a down comforter.
Right.
When you have a baby sleep in bed, if you're very drunk or taking a lot of drugs, mm-hmm. it's not a good idea.
Right.
But otherwise it's pretty okay. As one of my friends who's a physics professor is very funny, and he always jokes, he says the human beings who roll on their children evolved out, you know, eons ago. That's a good point. But yeah. So why do we do it? We did it because I just wanted to. You know, I felt like after work I would have maybe an hour or two of kind of exhausted time with my baby.
Right.
And instead, sleeping together, we get that hour or two plus just all night, knowing that we were just a couple of feet away or a couple mm-hmm. inches away, just made me feel happy.
Yeah.
And I
know that people, it's strange, people have this perspective that if we cater to our baby and young children's needs, then they're going to get spoiled somehow. And I'm really kind of perplexed by that. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So Gwen and I had read somewhere, it might be from Dr. Sears, and you know, who's considered one of the popularizers or founders of attachment parenting.
Right. William Sears. He's fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote the baby book. And so I think it might have been from him. We got this saying, which, as I say in my book, we used to repeat over and over again to ourselves, which is that a baby's wants are a baby's needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a baby doesn't mess with you.
Right.
Baby's not, you know, baby's not messing with you and trying to give you a hard day. Baby's not manipulating.
Uh-huh.
Baby's not pulling some Machiavellian tactics, trying to get what he wants or she wants. You know, I do think what a baby wants is really what a baby needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with, you know, that giving a baby what they want will spoil a baby. And there have been lots of studies to prove both sides. I mean, I'm honestly, and this is very controversial to say, but I'm not really a huge fan of studies.
Uh-huh.
Because I really believe I've read studies on both sides.
Uh-huh.
I've read studies that show that babies that are, you know, catered to can be spoiled in one way or another. And I've read many, many, you know, very well-documented studies that show the opposite, that show that when babies are, a study about Cry It Out, which showed that even after a baby stopped crying, their cortisol levels were still risen as though they were under stress, but they just didn't cry because they knew that the crying wouldn't be met or something.
Oh,
and,
dear.
You know, it was a very sad study. But, you know, like I say, I don't mean to overdramatize it because I've read studies on both sides. So, again, that's why, to me, as parents, we need to just get quiet, get centered, look inside, and parent from our heart, parent from our gut.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so for me, my heart said, this little tiny baby. Also, I look in the animal kingdom, really, and you know, parents really are near their babies and take care of their babies.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we go to break, Benny, can you share with our listeners the call-in number?
Sure. It's 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819.
Okay. More when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stella Reflections with a Stella Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Brian Leaf. He's the author of a gazillion books, including his latest, The Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi, Cloth Diapers, Co-Sleeping, and My Sometimes Successful Quest for Conscious Parenting. You know, Brian, we were talking about, you know, the co-sleeping and the studies and all that stuff. The same sort of thing is out there about breastfeeding. And, you know, it seemed like it took decades for science to actually embrace the concept of the importance of breastfeeding. And there's controversy about how long to breastfeed. What is it that you know about that based on, you know, your co-parenting with your wife?
Well, you know, first of all, it's interesting to note that it's true that it took science a few decades to catch up with it. But on the other hand, I think historically, again, a couple hundred years from now, or I don't know, 20 years from now, we might look at it only as a little different. We might see it just as a, I don't know if it's 3 or 4 decades or so, we might just see it as a 3 or 4 decade blip when breastfeeding wasn't the most popular style.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you know, my grandma or my grandma's grandma, that's just would have been what they did.
Oh, of course.
And so it's only pretty recently, really, you know, if you look at it, like relatively, it's only recently that that breastfeeding wasn't the main style, which is really about when I was a kid, probably.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, you know, now it's coming back. So it'd probably just be a short blip when formula beat breastfeeding out, really.
Uh-huh.
And eventually formula will just be probably this wonderful, amazing scientific tool that we have available to us when breastfeeding is not possible.
Yes.
But
yes,
it'll probably only be used in that situation, I would think. So, yeah, so breastfeeding, I mean, it's amazing the stuff I read about it. One thing that I liked the most was something about, and I'm not a scientist, but it was about how the molecules, if you look under a microscope at breast milk, what you're looking at is like live molecules. You're looking at like live intelligent, well, intelligent, maybe that's going too far for people, but you're looking at actual alive substance.
Right.
Whereas if you look at formula, of course you're not. You're looking at dead substance.
Interesting.
So I thought, you know, from an energetic perspective, that's very exciting. But even just literally, it makes sense. And it's amazing how a woman's body will adjust the milk to the needs of the baby in various ways.
And that's so counterintuitive. You think, oh, well, if you nurse more, then you're going to have less milk each time, right?
Right, right.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
It's like, you're basically telling the body, you've created more demand, so you need to produce more milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it reminds me of, you know, nursefeeding or breastfeeding on demand. as opposed to on schedule, like, right. like a hospital might or might not teach, I think is so important. And I actually think that's true to carry it through to children even. You know, I think it's so important to let children eat, as long as they're not having tons of sugar, which could affect their sense of hunger, uh-huh. you know, because sugar is uh-huh. one substance that can be addictive or that can change how you experience your satiety and your hunger.
Sure.
But as long as there's not a ridiculously abundant amount of sugar, I think a child knows. I mean, we've all seen, those of us who have kids or seen kids, you know, one day your four-year-old is eating what would seem like, you know, what a grown 300-pound man would eat,
uh-huh.
like literally, or
yes.
even three
yes.
300-pound man would eat, you know. And then another day the child might want to eat, you know, almost nothing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I grew up Jewish in New Jersey, so we just shouted at our kids, eat, why aren't you eating? You know, but no, I don't do that. But really, you know, I think it makes sense to let them follow that guidance. And of course, talk about what, you know, I think you and I both spend much of our life trying to do is cultivate that intuition inside
uh-huh.
in ourselves and in our clients. And I think if we want our children to have that, it's important to honor that in them when they say, I'm full now, or, you know, I'm not full, or I don't know. I mean, you know, I want lots of broccoli today, but I don't want any of that purple cabbage. I mean, I could respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
And Brian, you bring up a really important point about sort of honoring and seeking our inner intuition. Don't you think that some of these approaches, the energetic exchange that occurs within the process of co-sleeping and nursing and, you know, many of the other things relating to attachment parenting, you know, like the carrying the baby around the sling, don't you think that creates some sort of connection, not only connection, but communication between baby, young children, and their parents?
Absolutely. I mean, let's even just look at it from a utilitarian perspective. The studies do show, again, studies, but
uh-huh,
the studies
right.
do show that a mom and baby sleeping together will match each other's sleep cycle.
Ah.
So instead of mom in one room and baby in another, let's say at opposing sleep cycles, and so the mom is waking up every couple hours in the middle of a cycle. Instead, the mom is waking up at the same cycle as the baby. And you know how when we sleep in certain cycles, and waking up at the right point in that rhythm is more satisfying than waking up at the wrong point in that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby and the mom will match each other's cycles, so the mom is waking up to nurse. I mean, sometimes when people co-sleep, they don't even necessarily wake up too deeply.
Sure.
But many do. But at least they're waking up, perhaps, at a better spot in that rhythm.
That's fascinating, because
yeah.
it makes perfect sense, because, you know, it's exhausting enough, even, you know, if you're in the same rhythm, having to awaken a couple of times, a few times a night. And, you know, it can be totally exhausting as a new parent. And
yeah.
yet if there's some, you know, similarity in the sleep cycle, then at least maybe the mom gets to complete her sleep cycle.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's tricky. I mean, I got to say, to be totally honest, a lot of these more like holistic organic practices, co-sleeping, cloth diapers, I think a lot of them are, or I think what breeds the other, you know, what breeds, I don't know, cribs or formula or cry it out or trying to get a baby to sleep,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it is convenience and sanity.
Sure.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it's tricky stuff, because
it is tricky.
You know, it's such important. It's so important, this stuff. And if there's no right answer. I think part of the answer is that evolutionarily speaking, we probably had babies when we were about 14 usually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was 14, I could, like, you know, sleep on a hard floor,
yes.
you know, with friends at a friend's sleepover,
uh-huh.
wake up the next morning, have like one bite for breakfast and play tackle football.
Sure.
You know, and now I have to do half an hour of yoga just to not have my back hurt.
Right.
You know, at 42. So I think part of it's the age, but so I don't have the solution always, but I am aware that I think that's one of the differences in the parenting techniques is I think some of the stuff, disposable diapers or, you know, are born out of convenience.
Sure. And don't you think that there are aspects of this that relate to the way we have moved away from, you know, our extended family and don't have the kind of support that we once had?
Well said. I'm glad you brought that up, because that in my book, actually, I speculated different reasons why certain things have changed or why they're so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, I think, our age. And again, there's no solution to that. I'm definitely not suggesting people have babies at 14 now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the second one, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a weird time, I think, in history. Talk about what I always wonder, what will they laugh at us 200 years from now for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what will they say? Well, I can't believe they Right, all carried right. cell phones in their pocket next to their genitals. What were they thinking? Or whatever. You know, what yes. are they gonna? What are they gonna say? How could, like, we look at smoking? You know, what were they? How could they sit in front of a computer uh-huh. for 8 hours without moving? Did right. they really? Right. See, there's the sirens again.
That's what happens when you call people out for putting their cell phones in their pockets like that. They're gonna get you again.
You know what? Can I just say I want to give you a phone number to call and let my family know if I'm removed.
Right.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the family. No, you're totally right. I mean, to live for two parents or one parent uh-huh. sometimes, to live alone in the suburbs, kind of isolated,
yes.
or wherever you live, even in cities, people are too isolated. You know, I think, I think one of the answers is more community. And in the old days, of course, we would have, you know, parents and grandparents and kids of uh-huh. all ages living in the same house, supporting each other. Maybe mom had a tough night of sleep, you know, baby was up nursing a lot.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, maybe then grandma's watching baby that day.
Sure.
And I think, you know, tribally, historically, you know, I think that that's often how it would go. And, you know, of course, people weren't, you know, rushing to catch the A train to get to Manhattan for their proposal or whatever that
exactly.
those days too. But, yeah. but I think one of the keys, really, honestly, even now, I don't think we're going to move back in with our extended family necessarily, but I think we can open up to community, let people help us. Mm-hmm. There's an American myth that we have to make it on our own. And mm-hmm. I disagree. I think you can get support emotionally, energetic, even financially. I have mm-hmm. no problem with that from one's parents and friends and community.
That's an important point. And that sort of shifts our relationship with people in the world that way.
I think it's really critical. I think yeah. people have become, you know, I think it's important, especially when there's little kids, to mm-hmm. let people help, let people in.
Right. So, Brian, before we go to our next break, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you online?
Yeah, they can check out my website, which is www.misadventuresofayogi.com. They can get the book anywhere books are sold. They can check me out on Facebook or Twitter. But misadventuresofayogi.com.
Okay, more with Brian Leaf when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at Andrew Tweet Geo?
Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Father runs to the table, he said it was going on. Mother cries desperately, our little baby's gone. Do you know where your children are? Because it's not 12 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a fun conversation today with Brian Leaf. He's the author of Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi. Now, Brian, you know, we've talked a lot about the connection and the conscious interaction with babies. As our children become older, how do we maintain and enhance that connection?
It's a good question. So in my book, in Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi, one of the structures of the book is that I actually sort of catalog and memoir my experiences of reading and learning about different parenting approaches and then applying them in my own life, you know, playful parenting and unconditional parenting and attachment parenting and co-sleeping and discuss circumcision and vaccines. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't get into vaccines. We cut that. But anyway, a lot of different things. And so it was very easy for me, the early parenting of this unconditional, you know, the baby's wants or the baby's needs, that came easily to me, actually. What was harder was as the boys got older, to figure out how to give them their own space, you know, and to kind of let go a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It would have been my tendency, I think, to be a little bit neurotic, a little bit hovering, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so a book that really moved me and really affected my parenting, I mean, as I read these books and did this project for writing my book, The Parenting Yogi book, one of the most effective tools for me was this Free Range Kids book. It was written by Lenore Eskenazi,
uh-huh.
and it's really genius. And it talks about how, you know, it's sort of the opposite of what we talked about earlier with little kids. You know, their needs are their wants, or their wants are their needs, and just really giving our all.
Uh-huh.
It talks about as kids get older, giving them a little bit more space.
Right.
And you know, just before the break, we were talking about community and how I think one of the keys. If someone asked me what's the most important tip you could give a parent,
uh-huh.
it's not whether they co-sleep or they, you know, use slings and wraps or strollers. Really, I would say the most important thing is accept help and let people in.
Mm.
And the thing that gets in the way with that, I think, is usually fear.
Right.
I don't know how or why, but somehow we've sort of developed this idea. Like, for example, I don't know about the listeners, but for me, if I'm at Whole Foods with a 1.5-year-old and I lose sight of that 1.5-year-old for a brief moment, inside my body there's the anxiety as though there's a 100% chance that, God forbid, somebody's going to snatch that 1.5-year-old.
Right.
And in real life, in reality, 99.99999% of people, of adults, who find that 1.5-year-old are going to have one and only one thought.
Yes.
And that thought is, let's find mom and dad. Let's help this 1.5-year-old. I mean, there's no question. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so this book, Free Range Kids, by Lenore Eskenazi, she really just fact after fact after fact debunks that anxiety that we all have, which allows us to give our kids a little bit more free rein, a little bit more free range, you know, a little longer leash, and release our own anxieties a little bit, and kind of live in less fear. I mean, we both know energetically, fear is a real tightener.
Sure.
It really occludes the flow of energy and love, and
absolutely.
So releasing that fear. I'll just give you an example that really moved me. In the book, Free Range Kids, she had this professor, Joel Best, from, I think it was the University of Delaware. He's a criminology professor. And so she either found his work or asked him to. I can't remember. I think she found his work. And he had researched the number of Halloween candy poisonings and deaths from the criminal records he could find dating back to 1958. And guess how many instances of children being poisoned or dying from tainted Halloween candy there were?
How many?
There were none.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so the whole mania that's happened in the past couple of decades. You know, when I was a kid, I'm 42. When I was a kid, it was totally normal to get apples, to get home baked cookies,
and to step inside a person's home because they wanted to have you come in and take that caramel coated apple, you know, off a tray and see their decorations in the house.
A little haunt. You know what? Even to go in someone's basement for a haunted house.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! And now, if somebody asked you to go into their basement for a haunted house, the police would be called. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not sure where the mania started. You know, but I remember the Tylenol craze years ago and the razor blade. There are no recorded instances of razor blades in apples.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, you were making such a great point about letting go of fear in the situation where we're trying to protect our children, because I do believe that as we connect with our kids and really focus on our own intuitive guidance as parents, we establish this communication with them on a subtle level. And if we let go of that fear, then we can be more open to the flow of the guidance when something's not okay. So everything's okay until you really get the sense of something is not quite right.
You know, that's beautifully put. And it makes me think of two things, which one is that you're right. As fear is going to get in the way of this, you know, my biggest mission for folks, community is one, but another one is tuning into their parenting instincts.
Uh-huh.
And you're right. Fear is something that would cloud that.
Yes.
That would make it questioned, number one. And number two, you're right. If we are to keep safe, our intuition, again, is one of our greatest tools in that way.
Yes.
You know, I remember actually when I was a boy, one day I was walking home from school, and I wasn't a hippie kid. I grew up totally conservative. Uh-huh. Like, I was thinking about intuition. I was walking home from school, and this guy passed me. I lived in a suburbs way out there. Nobody ever walked by me. But this guy walked by me, mm-hmm. and there was something uncomfortable. If I look back, I could try to name what it was, or
right.
it'd be interesting to have a cop, you know, teach me the things to look for, but I just felt it.
Right.
And sure enough, that day, the police came to my house and said, did you see anything weird? I said, well, I saw this guy, and he made me uncomfortable. He just looked, you know, uncomfortable, and it turned out he had robbed a house in the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I think, you know, we can trust that feeling, and we can teach our kids to trust that feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son asked me the other day, if I got lost, what do I do? I said, well, you could go find a police officer, or find an adult who you have a good feeling about, who seems safe and friendly.
Right. And kids really know who that is. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen children, like, just warm up to a particular adult who I know is, like, an incredible person. It's like they just have this knack of tuning in and saying, that person's a good person. And then they'll shy away from others. And they'll, you know, the parent will say, oh, you need to kiss your Uncle Charlie. And they'll, you know, the girl will be like, behind her mom's leg, you know, like, don't make me kiss Uncle Charlie, you know. It's like they have the sense.
It's true. It's true. And I think it's nice. It's a gift we can give them to honor and encourage that. And then they can have that in their adult life. They can have that finely honed, you know, instinct.
Right. And what a different world it would be if we as parents went around with this concept of everything's okay, unless there's really an inner alert that says, you know, watch out.
Wow, that's really, I love that. That's really awesome. It's funny, I often say to people, I totally trust my moral compass. I don't trust my danger compass. Like when I'm watching my boys, you know, I grew up in this real fearful kind of way, and
sure,
you know, it's sort of neurotic. And I, when I'm watching my boys do something, you know, they're walking on the edge of the sofa and they're jumping to the table.
It's hard.
And they're hitting each other with pillows. You know, I often say, I really don't know. I try to just mostly hold back until I just feel I can't anymore.
Right.
And there have been a lot of studies, there have been a lot of studies lately. They've been real popular, floating around on Facebook and going viral. There was that Atlantic article about how allowing children to take risks, giving them a bigger leash, creates happier, more secure, less anxious adults.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, letting kids go fast and take risks and jump. You know, they don't get too hurt usually anyway.
Okay. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we are running out of time here. Fascinating conversation, and I love this book, Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi. Brian, can you share with our listeners again how they can connect with you online?
Absolutely. That's website www.misadventuresofayogi.com. They can also find the book their local bookstore, of course, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold.
Yeah. And, you know, this is such an important lesson for all of us, because I do believe that how we parent now determines what kind of world we're going to have tomorrow. So I thank you, Brian, for doing what you're doing with your boys and for sharing that in this book and today on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun to be with you today.
Oh, great. And thank you for listening. I look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.